And our spot on the map this morning has a name that sounds like it belongs in the title of a Hardy Boys novel. But Coffin Bay, located on the Lower Eyre Peninsula, is an idyllic town with a relaxed atmosphere and stunning scenery. World famous for its oysters, Coffin Bay is a fisherman's paradise, but the town is also home to an array of native plant life and animals. And if you visit the town, a common sight would be a pod of dolphins swimming by, or you may even get to spot a sea lion. This morning, I'm speaking with Coffin Bay local and history buff Peter Mitchell. Peter, a very good morning.
Good morning, Rod. How's things there?
Not too bad. The first thing I must ask you, Peter, is Coffin Bay. Where did it get the name?
Unfortunately. Well, Coffin Bay, I mean, there's a lot of stories about why it's called Coffin Bay, you know, shipwrecks, people dying and all those sorts of things, but the reality is it was named after something much more sublime than that. Matthew Flinders, he was the first European to discover Coffin Bay, as far as we know, and he sort of traipsed around the coast, naming places like these English sailors did. He came across this beautiful bay and thought, OK, I'll name this after a friend of mine. His friend's name was Sir Isaac Coffin. And hence we picked up the name. We often muse about the fact it could have been Sir Isaac Paradise or something like that. but there's a lot of funny stories that go with it, as you can imagine, because this Sir Isaac Coffin, he had a wife, Lady Greenlee, and she maintained her name Greenlee right throughout her life because she didn't want to be called Lady Coffin. So and there's a lot of features around Coffin Bay named after Lady Greenlee, as it turns out.
I reckon there'd be plenty of jokes. A little bit of gallows humour, a little bit of morbid humour about it.
You've got to believe it. We've actually got a street in Coffin Bay called Grim Road.
Oh, no.
And somebody lives at number 13, believe it or not. But it defies its name. It's one of the most beautiful spots on the planet, and we're lucky people to those that live there.
Where is it exactly? For those who have not been to Coffin Bay or perhaps couldn't find it on a map, where is it?
Well, for those people who know South Australia, I guess you've got to start with South Australia for a start, and Eyre Peninsula. Mm-hmm. It's about 150 k's west of Adelaide. That's as the crow flies.
Right.
Probably about 700 by road.
Oh.
And it's an area at the bottom of Eyre Peninsula, the bottom tip of Eyre Peninsula. Eyre Peninsula is a big place. It's the size of Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
And Port Lincoln, which probably more people might have heard of than Coffin Bay. Well, Port Lincoln is about a half hour's drive from Coffin Bay. And so that might give some people a bit of an idea. So right on the southernmost tip of Eyre Peninsula, Coffin Bay is a little bit further to the north, northwest of the tip, and Port Lincoln's a little bit to the northeast of the tip. And like I say, it's half hour, about 45, 50 k's from Port Lincoln. It's a bay complex, which is, like I say, the whole thing's called Coffin Bay, but the complex consists of a number of smaller bays. So the whole thing's called Coffin Bay, but within Coffin Bay itself, there's a myriad of small bays, and they have their own names. And the township of Coffin Bay, if you like, is actually on the shores of one of the bays called Kellerty Bay. And there's Kellerty Bay, there's Dutton Bay, Port Douglas Bay, Little Douglas, and Yangi Bay. The whole thing is like I say, a myriad of small bays. But it is a huge complex in terms of waterways, even in Australian terms, because from the tips, or if you like, the heads of Coffin Bay, which is an area called Sir Isaac, hence Sir Isaac Coffin,
yep.
And another head we call the Frenchman, and from those heads right through to the head of the waterway is 50 kilometres. So it's a huge expanse of water, but it's hugely protected, and pretty much anywhere you go within the bay complex, you're protected from wind from one direction or another. So,
are there people living throughout the entire area then, all along the peninsula and down to the bay, and then with houses and maybe beach houses, holiday houses around the coast?
No, not at all. I mean, in Eyre Peninsula, the most of the settlements are around small towns. I mean, apart from Port Lincoln, which by eastern state standards is small with about 14,000, Coffin Bay has about 600 permanent people. Numbers increase, I suppose, since I've been there, which is 26, 27 years. Started off about 200 then, and it's now just swollen to the whole massive amount of 600.
Wow.
And we have a population during the holiday season over summer and Easter, it sort of swells out to about 3,000 or 4,000. But it's very much isolated in terms of the population density, because we're surrounded by, on one side, by the bay itself, the water, and on the other side, on two other sides at least, one's a national park and the other's a conservation park. So the area of Coffin Bay is very, really quite small. It's probably about 3 kilometres around, if you like, or 3 kilometres in diameter. And so the opportunity for growth in Coffin Bay in terms of sort of residential growth is limited by that space.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
But it's a beautiful place, as you say, paradise almost. 600 people living there, though.
Yeah.
Everyone knows everyone, I can imagine.
Yeah, pretty much. Although it's an unusual town in a lot of ways, even though the history goes back to the mid-1800s. The town itself is interesting in as much that the people that are there have come in a lot of cases to work in the oyster industry, which I guess we can talk about shortly. But
yep.
But also there's a considerable number of people who have retired there. It's fairly transient because we don't have aged care facilities in the town. A lot of people come there to take advantage of their retirement years, but as their health fails, they need to move to larger centres. So it's transient in that sense. But
that's a bit different because many small towns, they complain when the young people leave. You're complaining that the old people are leaving.
No, we love the young people to come there. Like I say, we've been there 27 years, and when we first came there, there was only a small number of people, and there wasn't a great deal of work for these young people to do. So it wasn't really much of a magnet for young people, but that's since changed. With the sort of burgeoning oyster industry that we've got there. But the interesting about Coffin Bay also is it started off really as a playground for the local farming community. You know, when they finished their harvest or their seeding, they'd come to Coffin Bay. They had a shack on the foreshore, and that was their leisure time. I mean, that's still a bit the case too. The farming community still have houses there, but it's expanded quite a bit because people holidaying there just fall in love with it, as I did and my wife, yeah. and choose to sort of come and live there. So, you know, it is a bit unique. In fact, it's quite unique in that way. We're having a bit of a joke the other day about with a mate of mine that we try to work out and we concluded there's actually nobody has ever died in Coffin Bay that was born there.
For a place called Coffin Bay, that's quite a boast.
Yeah, worked that out.
That's amazing. So how many people born in Coffin Bay?
Well, born now, there's quite a few. The population is getting younger because we do have an industry there now that it's attracting younger people because it's a young man's industry, yes. The oyster industry. So we're now getting a lot of young people moving into the town or surrounding and adjacent small towns. They're having their babies and they're going to school and there's a quite a bit of a change in the makeup of the town. Which is great. I mean, I want to see a town just dying off because everybody's dying in Coffin Bay.
Peter Mitchell is our guest from the Coffin Bay Tourist Association, also owner of an apartment block there, very handy. Peter, you mentioned it a couple of times now, the oyster industry, and that is what Coffin Bay is known for. How long has that been going on?
The industry started off as a wild catch fishery. That means that the oysters were the native oyssters. It goes back to 1847, 1848, when oysters were discovered by people just mooching around the place, and there are a whole lot of people moved there to take advantage of that fishery, and they dredged oysters in Kellerdy Bay. Like I said, that's the bay on which the township was actually built. And the industry was quite huge. They had up to 30 dredges there at one stage in around about the mid-1800s, which probably would have employed maybe 100 people, 150 people. As a wild catch industry, we call them locally mud oysters, but they're huge. They're really the size of dinner plates, and these oysters were sent to market via drays that would come from Port Lincoln, and the drays would bring provisions for the people in the small town, which was called Oyster Town. And these people would bring their provisions, probably a bit of grog and that lot, and a few wild nights we had, I suppose, when the drays and the people would bring their supplies in, and the following day they'd take the oysters out and they'd bed them down in the waters off of Port Lincoln, and the coastal catchers would then come around from Adelaide, picking up wheat and and the like, and dropping off provisions for the township of Port Lincoln. But why they'd pick up these oysters that were bedded down in Port Lincoln waters and cart them off to Adelaide and flog them off in Adelaide.
Hang on, you're saying they were as big as a dinner plate?
Yeah, oh, they were huge. I mean,
so they're not the same now?
They're different species. The Coffin Bay oysters that you get in the restaurants, and they're pretty much all over the nation now, and in fact, I hear they're even international. But they're a different species. That species is called a Pacific oyster, which was brought in from Japan via Tasmania, and the spat was then brought to Coffin Bay in the late 1960s. And a couple of guys there, a guy called Bill Lee and another guy called Maury Hurrell, who has since passed on, and they decided they'd try growing them, knowing that oysters grew well there. And they did. These Pacific oysters took off, and they grew very, very well. And this is right in the township. They had this small oyster farm. And they built a shed on the coast there, and they flogged off oysters to the locals and people who were travelling through, and also shipped them out to Adelaide and the eastern states and capital cities, and made quite a go of it. Well, that was in the late 60s. Well, around about probably in mid 1980s, about the time I moved over there, the oyster industry started to boom, and people realised that there was a dollar to be made in it, and so we now have a number of oyster farms in and around Coffin Bay waterways, and it's that's the industry. Like I said before, is picking up these young people, because it's hard work, and it's cold in the winter, and it's not a lot of fun for old people like myself. So these oysters now are grown, and they're known as I say all over the country, and they're grown in absolutely beautiful, pristine waters, and we often have visitors there, international visitors who are in the aquaculture and fisheries industries, that come out with us and have a look, and they're quite flabbergasted just how clean the water is, and these oysters, like I say, they grow beautifully there. Because it's a narrow waterway, there's considerable water movement through there, and we get this ripping of the tides, which the oysters love, because the nutrients have then been washed back and forth past these oysters, and they sort of open up their gob and gobble it up, and they grow fat. Everybody loves them.
I bet. What about other seafood in the area, though? I bet if you've got oysters, you're going to have everything else, aren't you?
Yeah, we've got a pretty big fishery. The oyster industry is the only aquaculture industry we've got. We've got a number of wild catch fisheries, the southern rock lobster, commonly known as crayfish. The shark industry is pretty big. Abalone industry is huge. Coffin Bay, even though it's on a really tranquil waterway, it's still only about 15, 20 minutes from the Great Australian Bight, where abalone are sort of reefed off the bottom. We've got octopus industry. There's hooking for whiting, King George whiting, which is a pretty popular fish around our way. So it's significant fishery. The fishing industry, going back sort of 20, 30 years ago, was really the main industry, but it's sort of grown a bit since with the aquaculture industry and the oyster growing. So it's changed quite a bit, and the dynamics of the town is changing all the time as a result, like I said, with these young people that are moving in it. The Great Australian Bight, for those who have been around, the west coast of South Australia and up the top end of the Great Australian Bight and seen the whales, they know just how rugged and beautiful it is. Well, if you can imagine Coffin Bay is sort of parked right on this spot where we've got the tranquil bay on one side where you can take your tinny out and fish any time, go 15 kilometres or 15 minutes in another direction, westerly direction, you're on the Great Australian Bight with these huge cliffs and crashing waves and surf beaches. It's quite an amazing thing.
On ABC Local Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. Peter Mitchell is our guest. We're talking about Coffin Bay this morning. He is from the Coffin Bay Tourist Association. Does most of the seafood end up elsewhere around the world, perhaps in Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, all the restaurants there? Or do you have a great seafood restaurant in town? Or are there a whole lot of great seafood restaurants? I mean, with 600 people, I understand probably not a lot of local business there, but you must have people coming from elsewhere to dine in Coffin Bay.
Yeah, we do. We've got two clubs here: a sporting club which houses a golf club and a bowls club, and there's a yacht club, of course, on the bay there, as you can imagine. And we've got a restaurant there, the Oyster Beds restaurant, funnily enough, and of course the hotel, Coffin Bay Hotel. So there's four eating places in a small town, because, like I say, we cater for a lot of tourists. and they generally try and stock local seafood, but the majority of the oysters are shipped to the eastern states, Melbourne, Sydney, and Brisbane. Hell of a lot go out to Asia, and the southern rock lobster, the biggest market there is in fact China. So all of the prices that if you like the locals pay are pretty much based around what the buyers are paying from overseas in the eastern states.
Wow.
So it is a big industry.
Okay.
The oyster industry alone, when I started working where I am now, which is with a development board, that was worth around about $1.6 million. That's about 12 years ago. It's now worth over $40
million. Wow.
And that's to the state. And it's second only to the tuna industry, which I'm sure most of you listeners
have heard of. Yes, of course, it's huge
out of Port Lincoln. Yeah, it's huge out of Port Lincoln, yeah.
Yeah. Peter Mitchell is our guest in Coffin Bay in beautiful South Australia. Now, with a small population, I got to say, any well-known people that have come from Coffin Bay or maybe have lived there at any stage?
I'm trying to think of somebody who might have lived there that people could relate to, but
right.
I suppose what it is known for is it's been a very popular spot for the film industry.
Okay.
Most people would know the movie Gallipoli.
Of course.
Peter Weir and Mel Gibson. That was largely filmed only 20 minutes away from the town.
Really?
There's a stretch of coast there which we now call Gallipoli Beach, funnily enough, which is a terrific resemblance to Anzac Cove in Turkey.
So the scenes in Gallipoli that were supposed to be at Gallipoli, in fact, were filmed not far from Coffin Bay?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You can throw a stone to it pretty much. In fact, it's a bit of an attraction now, of course, because people want to go and see where the movie was made. And for those people that have seen it, they're absolutely gobsmacked with the similarities
that
it has with Anzac Cove. And whoever picked it out knew what they were doing. They thought, okay, this is pretty close to the mark.
Yeah.
So much of the film was made. In fact, we were holidaying in Coffin Bay when the film was made, and we were staying in a shack just over the Coffin Bay jetty. And the stars, the Mel Gibsons of the world, were sort of getting on this the hospital ship and going out to this area we call Gallipoli, and it was all very exciting for us at the time. That was back in 1981, and since then even the sand dunes. We've got these fabulous sand dunes that along the obviously along the coast, but they come a long way in from the coast as well. The movie The Light Horseman was made back in 1986, I think, 87, something like that.
Yeah, that'd be right.
And so all the scenes you see in that with these troops hacking across the sand dunes. They're the sand dunes of Coffin Bay. So yeah, so it's known for a little bit like, if you like, Broken Hill with Silverton.
Yes, lots of movies there. That's
Yeah, it's. That's been interesting for the town too.
It's amazing, isn't it? Look, many reasons for people to go to Coffin Bay, not just the oysters, not just if they want to catch up with what happened in Gallipoli or the Light Horseman, but I mean, you've got sea lions, you've got dolphins, you've got a whole lot of water sports as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. We've got a couple of charter boats to take fishing charters, but we've also got a tour boat only, and the tour boat operator's actually got his own oyster lease, so he'll take people out there onto his oyster lease and tie up on the oyster lease and crack some oysters and feed people oysters straight out of the water. And you don't have to go too far around a couple of islands there we call the Brothers, and seals are sort of mucking around on these islands and laying on their back as they do. They're generally the older, lazy ones, but they're fascinating to watch. And you don't have to go very far to see dolphins. I mean, I live right on the Esplanade. You literally throw a stone in the water from my place, and the dolphins come right up, right up to the coast and tour around in the bay just in front of us.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and you take a boat out, and I'm sure many of your listeners have been out in boats with the dolphins sort of come up and mooch up against the bow of the boat. Well,
yeah.
That's almost guaranteed. If you go out from Coffins, the dolphins will almost entirely come around.
Gosh.
You.
What about whales?
Whales, once again, as I say, we're 15, 20 minutes from the Great Australian Bight, and the whales they're migrating along the coast all the time. They migrate. It's a bit hard, I suppose, for you to imagine, but if you can imagine the Great Australian Bight, which is up in that mouth of the bottom of the country, that these whales are migrating from the south to that area to breed. Well, they generally, a lot of them go past the Port Lincoln and that part of the coast, and they go past Coffin Bay, but they're going, if you like, along the bight. They don't actually come into Coffin Bay proper because it's really too shallow for them. I mean, the deepest water we've got there, I suppose, is probably 8 metres, something like that, and it's really not suitable for whales to come in. But you know, the smaller mammals do.
All right. Besides Mel Gibson, anyone well known stop by the town? And Matthew Flinders, of course.
Oh, yeah.
The Queen never turned up?
The Queen hasn't turned up yet. She's on our invite list, but just waiting for her to respond. Look, we have a whole lot of people that come into town that visitors, of course, they're just gobsmacked. They're from all over the nation, and a hell of a lot of international visitors as well. A lot of the people I don't know how famous they are. They don't tell me where they're from, but they're it's an attraction to a lot of people. It has one of those really lovely aspects for people to nature walk and go out in the boat. There's snorkeling. There's diving. There's even around on the bite and those beaches there. There's surfing. Fishing is extremely popular, of course. I can literally walk across the road and catch dinner, and almost without exception. And that's pretty much the way it is around Coffin Bay.
That is a dream for some people.
Oh, it is.
That is their life. They would love to have that life.
Yeah, and don't think for 1 minute that we don't know about it.
Okay.
In fact, when I told some of my friends that I was going to be doing this interview, they said, keep it a bit quiet, will you? Don't rev it up too much. And I said, hold on, we're in the tourism business.
That's exactly right, and I'm sure everyone would love to go to Coffin Bay. Yeah, Peter, you've described it so beautifully for us. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.